Okay, cool. I think we're good to go. Hey all, my name is Christian Rivera. I'm a alumni from Ramapo College in New Jersey, and the undergraduate program I graduated with a bachelor's in business administration, with a concentration in marketing. And I'm excited to be here today along with Christian DeLuca, if you would like to introduce yourself as well.
Sure. Thanks, Christian. I, like you, am also a I graduated from the undergraduate program with a degree in business with a concentration in marketing, like yourself. And I also completed the MBA program as of this past fall. So this is a nice fond farewell, fond farewell of sorts for now. So it's nice to kind of pass the torch a little bit since you're just getting started with your program and have a good conversation.
Yeah, it was cool, right? I just started the program, like you said, and this opportunity was pretty cool to just talk a little bit about how we see leadership moving forward and some of the topics around that. So I think one of the main things that I wanted to talk to you today about and have a conversation over is the impact of listening in the work world, right? And we're both young professionals. We're going into different areas, whether of different areas of kind of the business world. And I think listening is a really important part of that, right? And I think listening is crucial. The more and more I think about it, right? And the reason that I really wanted to spend some time today talking about it was because listening is part of everything we do, right? It's a crucial part of learning. It's a crucial part of understanding how you retain information. And I have found that when we think about school, school has been a great tool for me personally in organizing information, learning critical thinking, learning how to speak, learning how to communicate. And listening has been a part of that 100%. But I think if we find a way to improve our listening, right, and I look at it from a personal perspective, before anything, I think there's a real big opportunity to have better relationships, have better understanding of those and around us and the environment around this, and also execute on business goals as a whole. So that's kind of like an intro of what we wanted to talk about today. I've had a lot of different examples where listening has really shaped good conversations and had productive outcomes in work settings, personal settings, and also throughout my college experience. But also sometimes I think listening has been a detriment in some areas where that's where I would kind of want to talk today about is where is it a positive, where is it a detriment, where can we move forward where we could really become better listeners and overall improve the way ways of working that we're currently seeing, right? Especially going into the work world, like I said before, and being at a start in our careers. So, Christian, I wanted to gauge, what your opinions were around listening, just as a introduction, right?
Yeah, sure. Listening is quite honestly one of the most profound gifts we have as human beings. We could obviously speak. That's something that we have over a lot of different other organisms. But other than that, we also can listen too. And just the fact that we're able to communicate with each other using words, through writing, and also just verbally is truly what makes this experience human. And obviously listening is half the battle there. It's part of what you need to do, because if you communicate and you're just communicating and no one's listening, then nothing's really being done. So that's why it's always important to take on that role of listening. Sometimes it could be hard to at least find interest in what someone is telling you about, but
Definitely.
I assure you that if you take the time to at least try to listen, hear them out. I always think it's really interesting to see what people are passionate about, So if you listen to what an individual is talking about and they're animated and their voice is raising, they're getting really psyched out. Obviously the football season is like something that, you know, we're just getting to a crazy point at this point of time. I'm not necessarily a football fan, but it's interesting to listen to people talk about their fantasy teams and et cetera, and it's just very funny. So, like I said, it's not my favorite thing in the world, but I'll still try to listen, even though like I don't take an interest in the sport on itself.
What I think is interesting, right? And you mentioned, you know, trying to listen to people, especially if maybe you're not 100% interested in what the person may be talking about, but you could get, you know, the way I look at that is maybe you could get some good nuggets out of what they're talking about holistically, right? But especially, I want to highlight that I think it's definitely something that's not easy. And I feel like that's a common misconception where you think about, oh, you know, all I have to do, it comes natural to me, right? But I feel like I don't necessarily think that's true. I think there's some people that are better listeners than others, but I think it's something that you definitely need to work on consistently, like many things in life, but really train yourself and train yourself for what you want to listen for. And if you're digesting everything properly and you're understanding what, you know, a person or a concept is saying when you're trying to digest it. So I think it's interesting because we do it so often on a daily basis. We're constantly surrounded by so much information. And it might be a good topic to talk about too, the just plethora of information that we're surrounded by on a daily basis and the amount of things like just this podcast today, right? I listen to so many different podcasts and I listen to so much information and consume so much information, but am I truly getting the most value out of what I'm consuming? And that's the question that I continually ask myself. So honestly, that it just kind of occurred to me, but I'm curious to hear your point on that. Before we get into some of the questions that we had, there's so much information out there, right? So how do you digest information from a listening perspective, obviously, like podcasts or whatever the case may be, even listening to music or listening to the news? Is there any type of method that you use or to listen better or anything along those lines? Or you kind of just wing it?
Listen, there's a lot of winging it, but there's also a lot of earnestly just trying to improve at it as well, just as a skill, because it's like anything, you need to get reps in and you gotta get better at it. Because not only just like for your career, but just for the people around you too. Like if you're a good listener, I think it makes everyone's life a lot easier because, one, if you listen, you can take into account other people's feelings on a certain matter. And if you're just kind of waiting for your turn to talk, it's not really a conversation. It's more like a script, you know? So, it's important to, I mean, it's definitely important to have your opinions, but like if someone says something that maybe stops you in your tracks and you're like, oh, wait, okay. Like, I kind of see what you're saying now. And that's, I think in every, if that ever happens in a conversation, that's a good sign that you are listening. So I know like listening,
I agree.
Listening is not necessarily the most conscious thing ever, since we do it unconsciously a lot. But if you do have that aha moment, like where you both kind of find some common ground, or at least you connect it to something else, that's a good sign. And as for like the mediums that I use to like listen, I also, like you, am a connoisseur of podcasts. I listen to a bunch, some more informative than others, some just plain old fun. But I think podcasts do actually help in terms of listening because, you know, you can't be involved in the conversation, even though, you know, sometimes I've caught myself in my car, like replying to something that they said.
Yeah.
But yeah, so that, I think that podcasts are good. And a lot of times with like more news source stuff, I actually use this app called Ground News. It's an interesting little project that they put together, and they sort articles based on bias. So you could have this one little one-stop shop, and it'll send you to each of the different pages and what their leanings are, and et cetera, and it'll
I
at
get
least then
that.
you could get the perspective of both sides, and then make your own informed judgment if it's something you care about. So it's yeah. There's so much information now that, like you said, Christian, that you can't care about everything. You have to pick and
Yeah.
choose certain things.
And that's
So.
pretty interesting ground news. I've never heard of it, but it sounds really cool because I know I've looked into that before, right? You want to try to get the most unbiased news possible. And you know that, because news is written and you're trying to have an opinion, especially if there's opinion pieces involved, things like that, sometimes those biases creep in there, unavoidable, right? So a tool like that sounds really cool. So I wrote it down. I'm gonna check it out. But I also equate it to what we were talking about before. Growing up, there was a big stress on public speaking, right? And this is what made me think of this, in relation to education, where I remember in high school, actually, I took a public speaking class and I was so bad at it. Like I was just shaking, the paper in front of me was shaking, when I would get in front of the class, and there was just so much going on. And I think that's like top five fears in the world is public speaking, besides like dying, which is which is pretty wild. But I think that class, and then so many more thereafter, especially at Ramapo too, there were great classes, and constantly in class, especially being a marketing major, that's one of the main tools that you're using is presenting, right? So I think I had a really good time in growing that skill set, and although it was very tough and you're thinking about it and you're constantly, trying to improve, I think listening takes that much time as well, right? They go hand in hand. So public speaking, it is really hard, I would say, at times, especially for somebody that it doesn't come natural to, but also listening could be equated to that. And in school, if there were a class like public speaking for listening, that'd be awesome. Like that'd be
Yeah.
fantastic. So I don't know. That was just a thought that came to me. That's as I've been thinking through some of this stuff, it's been that's kind of how I've been approaching it. But I ha actually have a quick question for you. So when we think about listening, right, and I'm sure there's a lot of things that you could equate or different situations you could pull from, but where have you encountered in your life that the art of listening could have helped or improved the situation you found yourself in? And it could be negative, it could be positive, but just situations as a whole, and I have a few myself as well.
Yeah, sure. I think that probably the most common times that this could be used is, I think, just with relationships, both friend and, like girlfriends and stuff. But it's interesting because there's a lot of times like you have your disagreements and everything, and then you are also emotional as, whoever it is that you're talking to that brings whatever problem to you. And like again, like this could be with friends, anybody. So like a lot of times, well, like you said that like public speaking scared you, whereas for me, public speaking was always sort of something that came easy to me, but the listening part was something I've struggled in. So a lot of times I will have to go through a disagreement. In the past, I've gotten better, but in the past, I would have to go through a uncomfortable conversation, say my piece, and then like after the conversation's over, I listen after the fact, like not in the moment. I recall everything that they said after the fact when I'm like sitting, like going to bed, and I'm like, oh, you know what? Like, I think that like they were right, or they had at least had a point. And then when you start that dialogue with them the next time, if you have the opportunity to. I think it's always a more positive experience that way, but you want to be able to try to do that in the moment, not, say some things, kind of go like put both of you in a bad mood, and then the next day you're like, okay, like I kind of see what you're saying. Like it should be, ideally, it should be in the moment that you should do that, but again, like this was, listening is a skill that I have had to develop over the years, and this is why it's actually a good contrast with us as your two hosts today. So, yeah, I think that just in relationships need so much listening and communicating. So I think that if you could listen a little more to your friends, loved ones, etc., I think you'll find that your relationship will be a lot more easier to manage. But listen, it takes two as well. It's like you could control what you're doing. You can control how you listen, but if the other person's not listening, then that requires a different response. So that's
And
where
I
it gets
think
a little complicated.
it was cool to hear you say the recall part of that kind of statement, because I was reading a book. You probably heard of it. It's a really common book over the years. A lot of people, I think it sold just a lot of copies. It's called How to Win Friends. Have it right in front of me. How to Win Friends and Influence People by Dale Carnegie, right? And one of the things in the book that the author says is, when in keeping with relationships, right, and the theme of relationships that you were talking about, that he would kind of have a practice of every time he would have major discussions throughout his week, right, he would note them down and just say, this happened. Then on like a Sunday, he'd go and he'd recall and see how they went and how he could improve, right? So to your point, that's a great exercise to do, but you're still doing it after the fact, right? Like you were saying, you're going to bed and you're thinking about these things, and hopefully you get that next time to talk to that person, wherever the chance may occur. But what if you could hone your skills to do that, not directly in the moment, but maybe in the same conversation? And that's where I think what's exciting about what we're talking about today is, if you could gain more knowledge and have, a stronger understanding of how to listen, can that open so many more doors for you holistically, and make your those relationships that much stronger and better? And I could definitely give a few examples myself, where even with family members, where, if you're living in the same household or you're consistently seeing people, maybe you're talking to them constantly, there's a pattern that goes, at least for me. And I've tried to stop this, and I noticed that a lot of people do this with me as well, is where you're kind of maybe in not an argument, or you're in a discussion, and you already know what you want to say. And I'm sure you've done this as well, where you really are harping on what you want to say, but in thinking about what you want to say so you don't forget it, you're not listening to anything of what the person is saying in front of you. So you're almost having two separate conversations by the time you're done talking, because you're thinking about what you want to say, the person's thinking about what they want to say, but nobody's listening to what each other are saying. So it's kind of like a weird situation you find yourself in. But I do think it's interesting, because it creeps into all aspects of life. Like you were saying, it could be a romantic relationship, it could be friendships, it could even be at work. If we're talking about future leadership, and we're talking about being a leader overall in the workplace, your team, are you kind of overlooking some major things that people may be saying on your team, or helpful things that people may be saying on your team, just because you're trying to communicate what you want to do, right? Or your ideas. And I think I've seen that in a bunch of situations, mainly college, I would say too, like working in groups. Everybody has a great idea for, let's say, a PowerPoint or something like that, but nobody's really listening to each other and taking the feedback. They just want to incorporate their ideas. So it's like, how do you find that delicate balance of, what ideas are good or bad, And had you come to a consensus and use listening as a major tool there, as opposed to just shouting ideas and expecting people to, you know, just follow along, right? So yeah, I think that's pretty interesting.
Yeah, and I think even with just to your point about like working in groups, there's been times that you also have to make a call of whether some ideas, like, they're good, but they're not necessarily applicable to like this certain assignment. But you could always keep those in mind and use them in another project. And that's something that has happened frequently, like in my groups, because I try to make sure that, because like, listen, I think you have to think of like group projects in many ways as a canvas, blank canvas, and just there's 4 to 5 people working on it. And obviously they all have different visions of how certain is supposed, how this is supposed to go. And if you have them all, if you have them all paint their picture on their own, it's going to look very silly. You're not really going to know what's going on. So, and I've been in some classes where that has happened. I've seen other groups fall victim to that. And it just, it's embarrassing to watch, because it's uncomfortable. You can see the discomfort in everyone up there presenting. So, that's why it's important to be like, listen, your idea is good. We can implement it on another project if we're able to. But like it takes some doing to be like, maybe not the right time to use this at this present moment, because like this is strong to use in another project. We don't want to use all of our strong evidence for solving like this issue now. Like we want to keep it in the bank, so to speak, and just to use it in a later forum.
And I think that could be attributed to like true development of a leader, right? Mm-hmm. Even in small situations like that, where you're making the conscious effort of saying, I hear you, you know, I'm listening to what you're saying, I digest all the different ideas that we have. And then, you know, as a group, let's come together and figure out what's the best for this particular moment. And if we have projects down the line, we could keep those in the bank. Why not?
Mm-hmm.
So kind of finding that fine balance. But I want to jump to one thing that you said before that was interesting to me, and I had just read something about it in Atomic Habits. I don't know, it's a bunch of people are reading it. I just started reading it not too long ago, but it's by James Clear, and he's kind of a habit, I don't want to say, like, I don't know what his official title is, but I think it's like he's like a habit expert, right?
Okay.
And he's just been studying habits and the way habits form for a really long time. I would say for the past, you know, I don't want to misquote it, but like 10, 15 years, right? Mm-hmm. So he had an interesting concept in the book where, you know, to try to make new habits and try to build better habits or get rid of an old habit is, you were saying before that a lot of the times that we're listening, it's subconscious. We're just kind of doing it to do it because it's something we always do. Like you can't turn your ears off really, right?
Mm-hmm.
So it kind of begs the question that if we take that subconscious out of the equation, maybe make more things conscious, do we listen better? Do we understand more that's going on around us? Do we understand what another person is saying better? If we're putting, I guess, and that also could lean into being present in the moment and being present with who you're around and making sure that your mind is also present. So it's just an interesting thing that, you know, I thought of while you were talking. But yeah, it just reminded me of that.
For sure.
Okay, so, and I apologize if you could hear any background noise. I'm celebrating Lunar New Year with the family today, so things are wrapping up. But so how can listening be helpful in a professional setting as a leader, and where does school come into play in making that happen? So we've talked about it a little bit, but in your opinion, and I definitely want to hear, because I know you've had some pretty interesting professional experience, because I know in speaking to you in the past, like your dad owned, I want to say Granite Marble.
Yep. Stone Fabricator. Yep.
Yep. So like working with clients, working with even different employees there, but also coming from like an academic setting and talking about theory in school, like where does this all lie for you? And where do you think the best areas would be helpful to incorporate more listening, less listening, in an academic sense too?
Yeah. In the professional setting, at least, I mean, there's a lot that goes into it. I mean, just what the customers want. I remember there was one time where we put in a kitchen countertop and the customer said, there are 3 black spots. I kid you not, a millimeter wide. And she's like, I don't want this anymore. Take it out, bring back another one. And it's like, it's like, geez, well, like, like, yeah, we get it. We can't control the stone in that sense, but because that's just how it's given to us. We just cut it to the size. We finish the edges. We polish all the different sides and everything. But yeah, and then there's other times, thankfully not while I have been working there. There's been other times where we've brought stuff and the person says, I don't like this anymore. I want a different color. And listen, you have to go with it. I think we'd still charge them in some cases, especially for something like that, when they just want to, they make a spur of the moment decision to change color. But you definitely deal with some people that are not used to being told no. That's one thing for sure. And even working with contractors too, like when we're working with contractors for new construction, that's a constant thing too, because the contractor is relaying the desires of the homeowner. And sometimes, like we said with the canvas analogy, there might be too many hands in that one. So not having the homeowner communicate to the contractor to then communicate to us what the homeowner wants, that could be very challenging at times. So it's almost like you're listening to what the contractor listened to from the homeowner. So like, it's like a game of telephone. So it could be a little bit murky like that, but, sorry, what were you going
to say? I just wanted to add to that, real quick, because so my dad's actually a plumber and I wanted to understand what he did a little bit more. So I think my sophomore year of college, I worked with one of his buddies, as kind of like an apprentice over a summer. And I remember we were doing a lot of service work in people's houses, similar to what you're talking about. And it definitely is interesting when you're in that kind of environment, because you do have to constantly be listening for exactly what the client wants. And mm-hmm. if there's something that's differentiated from what they want, you're going to hear about it. And they're going to make it known, right? And I remember one particular situation. I was, there's this type of cement that you use around piping and for outside piping as well. And it's this quick dry cement. And I was basically like the plumber's hands, right? So I would run to the truck at whatever he needed, because I didn't know a whole lot about plumbing, right? So I was kind of just doing all the heavy lifting. If there was like a boiler or there was a water heater or something, I was getting it out of the basements and things like that. But with this special cement we were using on the outside, I remember clear as day, and he had told me, go rinse this out. So I said, okay, no problem. You're working constantly. And you're working at a fast pace, so you're not really thinking through a whole lot. So your listening really needs to be, you know, sharp. Mm-hmm. So I said, okay, no problem. I'll go, rinse this out. What I forgot is it's still cement. So when you rinse it out, I put it on the driveway, and it's the client's driveway, and it dries as cement. So he comes out. He's like, what are you doing? Like, freaks out. But just it all worked out in the end, right? But still, in those situations, right? I don't think unless you're in a particular trade or service work type thing, it definitely is very apparent that if you're not on your A game, right, especially listening to those around you, you could get hurt or you could screw up like that and put some men on a driveway. Or, you know, so many things like that could happen. So it was just cool to hear you say that, because I could definitely relate to, you know, some of the pitfalls I've had in those situations.
Absolutely.
But you were going to say the academic part. I cut you off. Sorry.
Yeah. In the academic sense, I think, as I mentioned with like the groups, that's probably the most common. That's probably the most common thing. But also like receiving feedback from your teachers. I think that's something that's very important to be able to deal with, because there's a lot of ego, I would say, in the modern world, where it's like, oh, I did it. It can't be wrong. You know,
yep.
It's like, oh, writing is my strong suit. Like, I could never make a mistake. And it's removing your ego is the most important thing, because listen, these are professors. Many of them have a PhD in their necessary field. So at least theoretically, they're experts. And in terms of writing, having the PhD is obviously, you know, you need to be good at writing to pretty much get that. So it's good. Honestly, I'm more pleased when I have written papers and I do get some feedback back. I have been actually doing some research and with Dr. Red, so she's been very helpful with me, because I will put together something for my own personal research, and she will go onto the Google Doc one night and make probably like 20 comments, and I'm sitting
she's
there
very candid.
Like, yeah, I'm sitting there, I'm like, wow, I thought that this was the greatest thing I ever wrote. And it's obviously like the part that I'm inexperienced with is the academic writing, like with intention of like publishing in a journal. So that's a whole different type of writing. It's more refined. It's like not like if it's not it's certainly far from just sending a text to somebody or even writing a college paper, because I think especially in the ASB, we write papers as if like we were preparing like a business brief, and we've had assignments where we have made like
yep.
business briefs. So one of the most common things about the way we wrote in ASB was writing aesthetically and just making sure everything is simple. So it's easy to understand, easy to consume. The academic research that like I have been doing is an entirely different ball game. It's use the correct words in this sense. Try to cut out like any slang or just like sayings. Even saying like, try to say such as, you know, and just change. Use your synonyms for different phrases and different pairs of words. So I think I remember this because I actually mentioned this to Dr. Red about a week ago. I showed her this research paper I was preparing, and she helped me with a prior one, and I'm like, oh, less comments this time, so I must be getting better. So she
just
goes
a little bit better.
She goes, yes, this has shown that you have some research experience now. And I'm like, let's go.
I think a main thing that stuck out to me that you said was putting your ego away, right? And I think that's the hardest part that you have to go through, right, in order to be an effective listener, be an active listener, right? And say, I might not know it all. I actually don't know it all. And accept that and welcome either feedback, right, or just a difference in opinion, and be able to take that opinion in stride and also learn from it. And I think that's where the true learning happens. That's where the best conversations come from, is saying, you know what? You're right. I might not be a subject matter expert. I may not even know half the stuff you know about it, but I might know something that you don't, and vice versa. Mm-hmm. And coming into a conversation with that lens, I think lends itself to have a stronger dialogue, right? And to give my two cents about kind of listening and helpful ways that where it could be in a professional or academic sense, right? I have found that the best teams I've encountered are the teams that can have these dialogues. And I don't think that it's a mistake. It's the, you know, when, at least in a professional setting, excuse me, in a professional setting, when there's a leader who is really good at just, maybe they're not, you know, the all-time best in one particular subject, right? But they're able to delegate work to fit the strengths of those around them by listening continually to their associates or the people that they're managing. Right. And understanding that if I give this assignment to this person, well, I know that they've talked to me in the past of, you know, they've felt a little overwhelmed in this particular area or this area, and adjusting accordingly. Right. And I think, again, back to the beginning point of what we initially were talking about with listening, it's not easy by any means. And that's why it's a true skill that I think it needs to be continually worked on. And when you abandon the ability to listen to the extent of your team members and those around you, I think that you're in trouble naturally, because if you can't listen to those around you, then you're not headed in a necessarily positive direction where everybody feels valued, everybody feels heard, and everybody could give their best to you. And there might be some situations where that thought process might be wrong, right? There might be people that have the ability to just direct and they don't need as much listening, but I think those situations are few and far between, right? And I wanted, so for one of my classes last semester, I read this excerpt from a book called How Will You Measure Your Life by Clayton M. Christensen. And then I think supported as well by James Allworth. I might butcher the name, Allworth, and Karen Dillon. So I only read a small excerpt, right? But the gist of what was being spoken about is, how do so many people measure their lives? And the conclusion that they came to was, you should measure your successes, and of course this is subjective, right? But you should measure your successes based on the amount of people you impact, mm-hmm. right? And in keeping with that logic, I really like that. But in keeping with that logic, I think in a professional sense, that's still your goal, right? If you're a leader and you truly want to be authentic, you want to make change, you want to build a business that, you know, is foundationally sound and successful, you want to impact lives, because then they'll impact your life, right? And all associates feel empowered to kind of do that and work for you and work alongside you, as opposed to feeling belittled or unheard, right? So I think this is crucial. And I've seen some great examples so far in my very young career of people doing this really well, and then others doing this not so well, and seeing the direct correlations between outcomes, right? In an academic sense and a school setting, I've loved the opportunities I've had so far in college, and I mentioned in high school as well, the public speaking class that I kind of referred to. But I've loved group discussions. I've loved the ability in a classroom to hear from other people and have candid discussions. And I feel like the MBA program, I'm still young in it, but I've had a few classes already where I have had really good discussions with people, and we've had really candid discussions about stuff that I wouldn't have necessarily thought I would be talking about in a classroom. Not that it was inappropriate, but just different kinds of topics, which were good dialogues, good conversations that were had, where I would want to see where I think there could be even more advancement, right, is if you give people who don't necessarily understand, like we were talking about before, there has to be a lot of training behind being a good listener, right? It doesn't come right away. I think even if you're naturally gifted at it, you still could do so much more. And I recently saw this documentary. I don't know if you got a chance to see it. It's called Stutz, and it's Jonah Hill. He uses this therapist named Phil Stutz, and the guy approaches therapy a little bit differently than most people, in the sense that in therapy, and you know, I'm speaking based off a documentary, so please, anybody out there that is studying psychology or anything like that, don't rip my head off. but the therapist took a different approach, and his approach was he wanted to provide his client with these tools to have immediately while dealing or understanding themselves and their problems, right? And an example of this is he uses this thing called the life force, right? So if you could think of, let's say, like a nutrition pyramid, right? You have like a few different levels. If you replace that with three different subjects, right? And the bottom level is the body. The body is like when you're working through something, you first want to look to, what are you doing physically? Are you exercising? Are you eating right? What things can you change that can maybe, you know, lead you in a better direction moving forward? And then you have that second level, which is other people. So we talked about this plenty before, but I'm just giving this example to lead into the next point of other people and the positive relationships that you could build and the energy you could gain from that, right? So humans are social creatures, right? As much as an introvert would like to be, you know, alone, there are still some wanting to be around some people, as little as it could be, right? So that's kind of a positive push in the right direction. Then you look at yourself, and that's the top of the pyramid of understanding what's going on, maybe journaling, looking introspectively inside and seeing, you know, what's what right now and where could I improve. Now, that's a tool that they use within the documentary. And the reason I bring it up is if we approach listening this way, I'm not trying to use a template by any means to look at listening, but giving people tools to get started right away when we think about how we learn about listening, I think that could be a really positive force for change moving forward, and not only a higher education sense, but just all throughout kind of your education, right? And the way I used to look at it, and I still look at it, is teachers are professional teachers, right? But students for a lot of years of their life are professional students until they get a job, right? So kids are going in day in, day out, and you become accustomed to certain things in the classroom. You understand how long it'll take you to do a 2-page paper, what type of analytical reasoning you need to look at, you know, some sort of research paper, something like that. So when we operate as students for those first few years of our lives, if we had these tools, well, then by the time we get to the professional world, wouldn't we be that much better as leaders? And that's what this documentary kind of made me connect the dots there, is this would be really cool. It's a really interesting concept, especially with therapy being not as easy to access as maybe a lot of people would like. If we use this in different ways, and again, not generalizing what it is to be a good listener, but providing those tools to just take a step in the right direction. So want to hear your thoughts on how we could kind of move forward, even if it's not in relation to what I said, but just in general. Where do you see things going in an academic sense around listening?
I think that the developments and listening in the academic environment are actually positive. I think you're seeing a lot more listening focused methods being used. But I obviously think that there still could be an improvement. I think that in the academic environment, there's definitely more improvement in listening than in the workplace right now, I would
I could
say.
agree with that. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, especially now, just because like the economy is in a precarious position. You're seeing, and you know, obviously moving away from the pandemic a little bit, we see that work has changed a lot. I'm not going to get too far ahead of, we could talk about that later, but in the academic sense, at least, everything has been in the past like 2, 3 years, I think that there has been positive developments in terms of listening. I just think now what the academic environment is just missing is just more of a listening focused class. I think that you I mean, you mentioned like if there was a like a public listening course instead of a public speaking course. But I think even you could even weave in listening skills into the in the public speaking course, not necessarily quizzing the students on what the person in front of the room just said, but more like a healthy debate slash discussion. I think that could definitely improve listening skills as well, because yes, debates can be emotionally charged, but if you give a topic that's not necessarily so emotionally charged, it's like, oh, do we go to McDonald's or do we go to Wendy's? Discuss. And you'll see it's probably it'll be interesting because then like they'll there's probably more of a reason for people to find a solution with more trite examples like that. And obviously the like you know, you're not using current day events. Obviously, I think that that could help too, but if you just want to keep it a little more calm, you could use more trite examples like that because you can still rally a lot of different facts and reasoning why you would prefer to go to McDonald's over Wendy's. You just be like, oh, McDonald's, the milkshake machine's never fixed, so we got to go to Wendy's so we can get a frosty. So, and then you want like the students to be like, oh yeah, okay, all right. So it's like, oh, but McDonald's fries are better. Oh, okay. So it's trite examples, but I think if you could do it with something silly, you could do it with something a little more serious. So because I think you're probably, I think for me at least, I would be more, I would be less inclined to listen when it's like more funny things than more serious. I think when I'm when it comes to being serious, I'll listen. I'll consciously listen, but if you make it a habit of consciously listening, even with the more irrelevant stuff, I think that that will obviously carry over into the more serious things. So I think that in summary, if there was more, if there was like a debate component of public speaking courses that are in university, that would be. That would be positive, I think.
And I think that's an excellent point that you brought up because, and actually, my public speaking class, I keep referring to the final project. Everything was based, obviously, on different types of speeches that you would have to deliver throughout the semester. But I think the final project, which was really impactful, was you had to conduct, you had a, you know, a group assembled, and you had to do a formal debate. And if you don't know, all or for anybody listening who doesn't know what a formal debate is where basically there's two sides. They have to pick an opinion on or a stance on a topic, and then they have to defend that stance, right? And then you have, you know, like let's say three or four people on each side. Each person goes head to head with another person, and then judges would give you a score based on how well you defended your stance. Now, what's interesting about that, right, is the fact that you have to know both sides, and this is something that I learned, you would think, oh, well, I'm debating. Well, I know I'm right because X, Y, and Z, and I know this is my opinion. Well, actually, which side do you have the most knowledge about? Which side has the most foundation for, I guess, you could actually win at, or gives you the ability to win that debate, right? And I think that's very interesting because you're just listening constantly throughout that. You have to be well prepared, yeah. But once you're there, you have to be able to use all the points that are brought up and know both sides very well from the, and then everything they say, digest it, and then spit it back out to them and give a rebuttal. So it's very cool, and it's hard, but the challenge is good because, like you said, if you incorporate that and you do it well enough over and over, your listening and public speaking are going to improve drastically and get that much better. But just to close this conversation out, because I know we've been talking for quite some time, but what would be a key takeaway that you could provide for every student future leader listening today for what we've been discussing?
Yeah, I think that a key takeaway that we could provide definitely be to not only listen for your own sake, but listen for the other person's sake as well. I think you see a lot now. There's a lot of labor disagreements in the workforce today. I know that there's one camp that wants to work from home because they believe that they could do everything that they did, and they've shown that they can do everything that they did at home throughout COVID. So then you also have the people at the top that want them to be back in the office for a multitude of reasons. And you're seeing a lot of people scoffing at the executives who want people to come back to the office. And while I would say myself, I'm personally on the side of you should be able to work wherever you want, assuming you can get the job done.
Yep.
I do think it is important to also listen to their concerns too. It's definitely can be unfair in certain senses, but I think that if there is more listening between all parties, you could reach a compromise. And if you cannot, then there needs to be some other sort of option, because like I alluded to earlier, the world has changed significantly from even just a year ago.
Definitely.
And it's important that leaders can adapt, and also for the employees and the students, work with the leaders to help them adapt, because you have to realize that they were so used to doing something for so long, and now it's totally different. So you need to have empathy for people that might be going against the more popular opinion at this moment. And that is involved. And being emphatic is also being able to listen to, because if you're like we both said throughout this conversation, if you're just waiting for your turn to talk, you're waiting for your turn to diss the other person's argument, you're not actually listening. You're waiting for your turn. You're waiting for your turn to speak. It might as well just be like some sort of martial art at that point. But I think that it's we need more empathy in the way that we listen right now, from employee to manager and from manager to employee.
And I agree wholeheartedly with a lot of what you're saying, and there's a give and take there, right? Can't be one-sided. You got to help each other out, especially in a situation like ways of working right now, where there's so much controversy over what's right, what's wrong. Is a hybrid model good? Is complete virtual good? Is all the way back in the office good? And I don't know, like you said, I don't know the clear answer to that. And there might need to be some sort of compromise there made. But I think my key takeaway from this conversation would be as cliche as it may sound, is keep trying, right? And to elaborate that a little bit more, is I think that what we've talked about a lot throughout this conversation is mainly highlighting consistency, right? And consistency in the sense that understanding listening is not an easy thing. It's something that needs to be learned. It's something that needs to be trained and consistently worked on, similarly to, you know, public speaking and a lot of things that require a lot of effort and practice, where practice could be attributed to pretty much anything you want to do to be successful at. So I think that's the biggest takeaway, is understanding that, yes, you may be a good listener if it comes naturally to you, okay, but you still have work that needs to be done, and it needs to be, you know, continually improving, or you need to be continually improving in order to reach that level where you could definitely impact, like I was saying before, as many lives as possible. But to close it out, I want to thank you, Christian, for having this conversation with me, and also for having the opportunity to use this platform to talk about something that's pretty cool, in my opinion, something that I'm excited to see how it develops down the line, which is, you know, listening and how we can improve it overall.
Absolutely. And, you know, just being able to look back at this Voices of Future Leaders segment, you know, down the line, we'll be listening to other students. So that'll be interesting to see what they find is important to discuss. Today we talked about listening in the first edition of the Voices of Future Leaders. They talked about microaggression, bullying, and incivility. So that's, I think definitely listening is almost a solution to what they were exploring. So it'll be interesting to see how the next edition of this segment builds off what we discussed here today, and also builds, builds their own platform to move towards. And then it's just, you know, years down the line, if this continues, there's probably going to be lots of awesome information to just look back on and see how the world changes and how young professionals explore different avenues of finding solutions to these times. So it's definitely awesome. We're putting our mark in Rampo history right now. So that's also a nice, it's a nice thing to think about as well. So,
I agree.
Yeah, absolutely. Christian, it was great.
Likewise. And I look forward to seeing, kind of the portfolio, like you mentioned, portfolio of ideas that develops, you know, after us as well.
Yep. So, I just want to wish everyone a good semester whenever you are listening. If you are listening in the summer, have a great vacation. But other than that, that has been Christian and Christian. And this is the Future Leaders, the second edition. And we want to thank you for being here with us and listening, tuning in.
And thank you.
Yep. So have a nice one, everybody.